Welcome back, everybody, to the 10-Minute Misconduct Podcast. Back here for another Saturday edition. And Cody couldn't be here, unfortunately. He doesn't have COVID this time, so that's good. But he had a fight, and not with Marshawn, but he had a fight. He couldn't be here. Unfortunately, I couldn't watch it in person, but I did watch the live stream. And I have a very special guest co-host with me here today. And we actually just finished watching the fight. We're going to tack that on at the end. We did a little fight companion. So we'll put that at the end of this episode here. But my special guest, I don't know how else to introduce him, but he's a retired goaltender. The last season of his career between the pipes was in the ACHA3 with the Southern Connecticut State University Ice Owls, I believe. He had two games played that year, goals against average of 7 and a save percentage of .84, according to Elite Prospects. Now, my co-host is shaking his head here. Maybe he disagrees with that, but according to his Elite Prospects page, 7 goals against average and a .841 save percentage. I tried to find his high school stats because they were more forgiving, but, you know, Lou Payne, not known for punching in the numbers after a game. Because I went on Max Preps, and every other team in the state, their numbers are there. Staven, nothing.
Okay, to be fair.
Oh, wait, so let me say his name. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us Frank the Champ, Frankie50, Squid, Frank Albano. Well, welcome to the podcast, Frank.
Thank you, Chris. That was a beautiful introduction.
Get closer to the mic for me.
Not a very...
Or just bring the mic closer to you.
I'm literally deep-throating this fucking thing.
Yeah, please do. That's okay. How I want it.
Okay. That... Not accurate.
Take it up with Billy Walsh.
Yeah, not accurate. I did not play two games. It was just one.
Well, they have you in for two.
Okay. That's incorrect.
The 2016-2017 season? Was that your last season of play?
It's the only season I played.
Yeah, and then you became manager because you had seven goals against average.
Okay, to be fair, I didn't play hockey for 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. And,
he throws me in the first game because the other two goalies were fucking sick. Yeah. And he's like, all right, just go. And I was like,
Who'd you play? Post-university club?
I played Sacred Heart against Zach.
Well, not against Zach. I'm pretty sure he rode the pine that game.
No.
Oh,
me and him were both in that.
Oh, that's impressive. That didn't happen often that season for either of you.
No, it didn't.
I just lost it. Fuck. I was trying to look. The other goalies, Luke Amatruda, and who's the other goalie?
Matt Paolini.
They both had 12 games played each or something? I don't know how many games you guys had in season. But they split them the whole year. And they're a decent tandem. Luke had the best stats.
Oh, yeah.
Which is to be expected. The kid's a stud.
Former state champion.
Kid's a stud.
Keep in mind, I was only on that team because we were poor and needed funding.
And they needed a certain amount of players or something?
Yeah, they needed that, and we just didn't have any money, so they're just like, come
but
play.
But hey, we'll you got a deal on you got a beautiful mockumentary dues. Out of it.
I did.
I just cut you off like real bad.
No, you're good.
I apologize.
No, good.
No, finish your thought.
No, I'm used to it. It's fine.
But yeah, you got a beautiful mockumentary out of it. If you want, we can plug that on the show if anyone wants
to watch
it.
Yeah, that'd be great. It has basically nothing to do with hockey. It's just a bunch of skits.
But it has a lot to do with that. It follows a club hockey team.
I guess.
Which, by the way, this intro has a lot more to do with hockey than last episode's intro did. Okay?
I don't remember last episode's intro.
Wow.
I listened to it. I just don't remember.
We got into COVID talks for a bit there. And the Nazis were brought up.
Oh, yeah.
Nine. Oh, yeah. That reminds me. We had a few people. It was one. We had a few people reach out to us saying that they would love to listen to Nine, a podcast idea me and Cody came up with as a joke months ago before we even started this one. Because I was just telling them one night I got like balls deep on a rabbit hole. I want to make this quick so we can talk about hockey. But I got balls deep on a rabbit hole of like a bunch of companies that were involved with the Nazis. And I said there was like 9-ish of them. And Cody's like, we should do a limited series podcast called Nine, like the German word for no. And have it be a 9-part series discussing these 9 prominent companies. So we kind of got into it last episode as a joke. People reached out. They said they definitely listened. So it's a thing. It got greenlit. We're not sure when that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. So it's a guarantee that's happening. But the details on when and, you know, we're probably going to pre-record them and then put them out whenever we want.
But yeah. I'll personally produce it. I'll fund it.
Okay, so apparently I'm not a good enough producer. But yeah, Frankie 50 will be third mic on that podcast. We got to figure out a three mic setup.
Get Zach in. Let's do four.
We'll do three.
Wow.
It is what it is. But let's get into hockey here. I'm going to be honest. I'm a little nervous tackling this episode without Cody because he's the guy that knows everything. He's the guy that he does research. He looks at stats and this and that. And he's a numbers guy, and I'm not. He throws things at me, and I react to it off the cuff. Pretty much, that's how it goes. I do a little research here and there, but I'm going to have to be in that role now, and it's scary for me. That's not how I am. I'm just an asshole. I say what I think. I'm not always right. I sound like an idiot, but that's just how I am. I'm very reactionary, whereas he's an analytical guy, and that's not me.
Yeah, from listening to the previous podcast, he's like the play-by-play, you're more color.
Yeah, see, me and Cody were having this discussion before we recorded our last podcast. He said that I'm like Doc Emrick, and I was like, whoa, no. And he goes, no, hear me out.
You're a great Eddie Olchuk.
Yeah, he goes, you're like Doc Emrick because the personality and like the lines you'll throw out. But then I thought he was going to say he was like color, and I disagreed. But then he brought up a good point. He was like, I'm more like an Elliot Friedman or like Bob McKenzie. You know, guy in the booth, not booth, but like between periods, and he'll break shit down. He'll break down trades. So he's on the screen on draft day on NBC and talking about all the prospects and shit. So I was like, all right, yeah, I could see that, but I still would not liken myself to Doc.
I wouldn't. No,
I hate to say
it. He's one of the greatest play-by-play announcers ever.
The greatest.
Yeah, I'll give them that. He is the greatest
for hockey, especially. Yeah. But I'd argue of all sports. Yeah. But anyway,
don't get me wrong. You're great at what you do. I'd say you're more color. I mean, you can't even look at me.
You can't say that. It's collared. But
I'm like a Pierre Maguire. I know nothing.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I would agree. Except you're not buried up Crosby's asshole.
No, I hate the fucker.
Yeah. Well, so do we.
That's why I'm here.
But let's get into the events of these past few days since Tuesday. I had to follow things that Cody normally does. So he always starts the podcast off with injuries, suspensions, trades, stuff like that. And there's a lot of trades here. And Cody's dying to be on this episode, but unfortunately is not. And I'm going to fuck up all these trades, but whatever. Start with injuries. We got Bobby Ryan out for the season with an upper body injury. Sorry for him, but you know his team's not going anywhere anyway, but you hate to see it. Zach Werenski also out for the season with a sports hernia, and there's five more Canucks players that tested positive for COVID-19. So they're getting fucked hard by that Brazil variant of COVID. Still haven't gotten my J&J shot, but listen, we're figuring it out.
Listen, I'm not.
I saw a homeless guy yesterday actually giving himself the shot under a bridge. So
was that in Waterbury?
No, but it might as well have been. But yeah, Canada, they actually have a shortage of vaccines, which is not looking good, especially with Vancouver having this outbreak. And the U.S., we're swimming in extras. So maybe we send some up north. But yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to get into the political side of that.
I'm not getting into the political side of it.
I was actually thinking, is Vancouver going to have to... Is Vancouver going to have to forfeit the season if they can't get back in it?
I'm glad you brought that up. See, you didn't have confidence in yourself, but there's actually an article I saw on the NHL app today, which crashed on me four times today, by the way. But it said that Vancouver says they will do everything in their power to finish out the season full 56 games for the shortened COVID season. But a lot of people are saying it's probably not happening. Here's the thing. They're not a playoff team, but
so it's gonna affect
but if you're
the
Vancouver,
season.
Yeah, of course, and because all of the other Canadian teams too, they could throw in that argument like, you know, if you're a team that's fighting for that top spot, you could throw in the argument like, Montreal played Vancouver. I think they played all their games against Vancouver already, who's a weaker team.
Yeah, whereas Calgary and other teams.
Yeah, other teams or whatever. I'm like, seeing them postponed week after week. Played them like three times or whatever. So it's like, oh, those are games we should have had wins for. We would be higher in the standings. So yeah, I'm sure the NHL wants them to finish out the year too.
I just don't know if it's possible at this point.
I don't know if it's possible.
I don't know if they're going to have time
they'll
to
figure
fit
it out.
In those
games. They'll call guys up from Utica and do whatever they can. But it doesn't matter for Vancouver. But like you said, it matters for the rest of the league. So I'm sure the NHL is going to get that done.
Yeah, it's going to affect the Western Conference for sure.
And let me get suspensions out of the way here. By the way, I'm sure there's way more injuries, but I just brought up the ones that seemed most important. I don't know how the fuck Cody does it. It was a pain in the ass to find. But for suspensions, we got Avalanche D-man Jacob McDonald suspended 2 games for illegal check to the head of Minnesota's Ryan Hartman. And I have an issue with this because I still think McDavid's elbow to the head of Kotkaniemi was way more egregious than this one. And this guy gets a 2-game suspension and he's like an unknown Jacob McDonald. So he's missing out on salary for 2 full games. I'm sure he had a fine as well. Whereas a guy like McDavid, who's making $13 million a season,
yeah,
only got a $5,000 fine. Which,
well, that's just the politics of the league.
It's fucking stupid. We are unfortunately not doing Cuck of the Week this week. I was going to try to do it without Cody, but it's just not the same.
It's not right.
I couldn't find at least 3 candidates, but the only one I did have was, once again, they were a candidate last week but didn't win. It would be head of player safety, which wouldn't that be George Parros? It would. This suspension here just really fucking irks me. So that would be my only candidate. So I guess you could throw them in as Cuck of the Week, but there's no competition really. Nothing else stood out to me.
No official announcement this week.
And you ready to hop into trades? Because we're getting close to the deadline and there's a lot.
Yeah, let's hop into the trades. I know there's one that's an absolute mess.
Yeah, there's a fucking shit show, a 3-way trade. It just happened a couple hours ago. I'm going to have a hard time breaking it down, but I'm going to try my best. And then there's a couple smaller trades. Some of the bigger names we expected, like Hall, haven't gone yet. And we were kind of talking about that before we started recording, where, I was saying it to Cody too. It's hard to take a guess at who still takes a gamble at the guy.
Well, he's been in the league how many years now?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. Believe he was drafted in 2010, came right out of the draft. So, yeah, this is either his 10th or 11th year. I think it's his 10th year.
Yeah, so he's getting up there in age. He's slowing down.
Yeah, he's...
But he never really picked up.
Yeah, he should be, like, right on the tail end of his prime. But, yeah, he had that one Hart Trophy winning year with the Devils and somehow carried them to a playoffs that they shouldn't have been to. And everyone, the whole hockey world had high expectations for the guy. And it's just been downhill since then. He had an injury the next year, missed most of the season. I think he only played like 33 games. Then he came back the third year, rough start with Jersey. He's getting booed out of the building by fans. And as a Devils fan, I didn't agree with that, the fan side of it, but gets shipped off to Arizona, doesn't work out there. Then he signs with Buffalo. He said he wants to go to a contender, he wants to win a cup, and signs with Buffalo. So I actually had high hopes for Buffalo coming into this year just because I'm like, Hall said he wants to go to a contender, and he signed there, and then as soon as they signed him, their fucking GM or owner or whatever the fuck had like a press conference for the fans and shit that was like, today marks the day that we become a winning franchise. And they're just having
that did not age well.
They're having a historically bad fucking season.
Second worst in NHL history.
Tied for first worst loss, like for most losses in a row.
Yeah, at 18.
Yeah, they tied the record and I want to see him break it. But anyway, I'll talk about the trades that did happen. First and foremost, I'm going to get into that clusterfuck here.
Yeah, get that one out of the way.
And let me know if you can figure it out. So, David Savard was acquired by the Tampa Bay... I'm just reading the fucking script here because I suck with the 3-way trade shit. Cody would have it broken down perfect. He's not here. David Savard acquired by the Tampa Bay Lightning in trades involving Columbus Blue Jackets and the Detroit Red Wings. So, Columbus traded Savard to the ether and received a first round pick in 2021 from somebody and a third round pick in 2022 from somebody. Detroit received a fourth round pick in the 2021 draft, and Tampa, along with Savard, also got defenseman Brian Lashoff, who I don't even know who that is.
I have no idea who that is. Savard went to the Lightning, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, Tampa acquires
decent
Savard,
pickup, but
and
then I didn't even,
everything else is...
Yeah, I mean, there's some big picks. It could mean anything. There's some big picks being thrown around there, though. Like, a first-round pick this year for Columbus, that's pretty big. Third-round pick next year, not bad. Detroit gets a fourth. So, I'm guessing this Lashoff guy came from Detroit. Whatever. We'll figure it out. But the weird thing for me here is that Tampa gets two defensemen. One of them seems like a prospect. Lashoff, like I said, I know nothing about him. Savard's not a bad defenseman at all, but I don't think Tampa really needed to be looking for D heading into the deadline here. They have a good
not
team.
Really.
They have a great offensive group, great goaltending, but
yeah, definitely.
I was just saying it with Cody. Their defense is incredible, and we were comparing like Vasi and Grubauer last episode, and I was like, I think Vasilevsky has better defense in front of him in Tampa than Grubauer does in Colorado. Neither team has bad defense, but so I don't know.
No, I'd agree with you on that. Tampa Bay has the better defense compared to Colorado.
Yeah, so for them to still be picking up D-men at the deadline, whatever. But Florida, the other Florida team, Florida Panthers, pick up a defenseman as well. They get Brandon Montour from Buffalo for 2021 third-round pick. Then Patrick Nemeth is traded to Colorado from Detroit. In return, Detroit gets a 2022 fourth. Then we have Chicago acquiring Brett Connolly, Riley Stillman, Henrik Borgstrom, and a seventh-round pick from Florida for Lucas Carlson and Lucas Walmark, which Walmark is a pretty solid player. Carlson, I don't know as much about him, but hearing good things about him. Connolly, great guy. He could play. Stillman, Borgstrom. So I'm interested to see how that one pans out. I'm not really sure on the contracts of each of those guys, but definitely still smaller names. There haven't really been, there's still 3 days left till the deadline, and there's going to be bigger names going. This is probably, maybe I have bias as a Devils fan, but this is probably the biggest trade that's happened so far this week. We have the Islanders acquiring Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac from New Jersey Devils.
I was excited about.
Yeah. It's weird for me seeing Zajac in a different jersey, different number. Devils get a 2021 first, a conditional 2022 fourth. I'm sure that's like if Palmieri signs, they get the fourth. If he doesn't re-sign, it's a fifth or something like that. I didn't look into the conditions. They also get AJ Greer, like fringe left winger, and Mason Jobst, who I have no idea who the fuck that is.
I'm going to be honest. I know
Palmieri and Zajac.
Yeah. Three people on this entire list of trades.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
Yeah, I haven't followed the league in a couple of years. I'm doing my best.
But Zajac this season just broke 1,000 games played in his career, all of them with New Jersey. He's played in his entire career with New Jersey. So seeing him traded like on the last year of his contract, it is kind of weird. As a Devils fan, I always expected to see him retire a Devil and like always wanted him to. But I'm not too torn up about the trade just because he didn't have much more to offer. He was on a shitty contract. He's getting $5 million a year. And we have a surplus of centers right now. But it's just funny to me that Lou Lamoriello is doing what he always does. He used to be the GM of the Devils, for those who don't know, for years, won all the cups with them. Now he's the GM of the Islanders. And the guy is infamous for taking former players over 30. He did it with the Devils his last few years. That's part of the reason he was pushed out the door in New Jersey. It's because he would just sign guys that used to play for him that were like old as shit. And it's like, dude, it's not the same fucking player.
Yeah.
Like he signed Scott Gomez one of his last years in New Jersey when he was like 32 and had like 4 fucking points the year before. It's like nobody fucking cares. And then he's going back and forth with fucking Matt Martin from Toronto to the Islanders or whatever the fuck. I can't even keep track of which way that went.
But that's what he's in, that mindset where, you know, a former star in their prime
exactly
is going to maintain.
And he's kind of stroking himself off
their later years. It's not going to happen.
Exactly. And he's kind of stroking himself off too, because it's like he only trusts guys that he drafted. Like last year at the deadline, he picked up Andy Green from New Jersey, another guy I thought would stay in Jersey forever. But again, he was like 35, definitely at the end of his career, picked him up. He picked up Corey Schneider as a free agent this year, and the guy hasn't played a single fucking game.
Yeah.
He's over. Like, he's done.
He wasn't even that good for New Jersey.
He had a couple good years when they had the worst team in front of him, and then just had knee injury and groin injury after groin injury.
The first, like, 2 years after Brodeur retired, he wasn't half bad.
Yeah, he was projected to be, like, a top 10 going in the league before his injury, but then he just got too fucking old, never got to potential. And yeah, so Lou just picks up another guy over 30 that used to play for him. Palmieri is a great addition to, I think both guys are a good addition to the team.
They're definitely going to contribute.
Yeah, they're at the top of the East right now. I also found it funny too, though, how they pick up Zajac, and then Lamoureux was asked by Islanders media after the trade, like, why he targeted these players in particular, and he's like, oh, Palmieri could like lead to a lot of scoring and help us out in playoffs with depth scoring, and Zajac is, throughout his career, has been one of the best faceoff men in the league, which is true. Like, he's been dominant on faceoffs, hasn't had the best year in the circle this year, but like throughout his career he's like over 50%, which is a lot tougher than you think. His first two games with the Islanders, Barry Trotz puts him on right wing.
So
your GM comes out and is like, I grabbed this guy because he's great in faceoffs, and he puts him on a line together. Palmieri's a right wing. They put him on left wing. Zajac's a center. They put him at right wing. And then they have both of them centered by Pageau, which, I mean, sure, Pageau didn't do bad, but...
No, he's not a bad center, but he's not Zajac.
No. And that's, I don't know, that's one of Zajac's only pluses here, is winning the draw and giving you possession to start with.
Yeah, so basically a useless pickup for the time.
Yeah, pretty much. I think Lou is just like, oh, I'm fucking 90. I recognize that name. All right. That's what it comes down
to.
That's
the Alzheimer's in him. He's like, I know you.
That's what he does. So I found that funny. And then Lou, also interesting guy. One of the things I always disliked about him, he has a weird, it's just another old-fashioned thing. He has a rule that nobody on any of his teams can have facial hair, so, or long hair. So Palmieri had his fucking long beard with New Jersey, and he was growing his hair out, and like as soon as he was traded, he had to shave the beard and get a haircut. So
how is that even allowed?
It's stupid. Like, the Yankees do it too, like in the MLB. Really? It's so dumb, yeah. And Lou always did it. He did it with the Devils. He did it with Toronto. He does it with the Islanders. Yeah,
he keeps that through playoffs?
I think playoffs you're allowed to have facial hair, because
okay.
I'm trying to think back most recent. The Devils 2012. Yeah, because Henrique, he kind of got known for having that mustache during playoffs, and then he would do it in Movember. But, yeah, he always does a no facial hair thing. So Palmieri had to shave. He said he hasn't been clean shaven or owned a razor since he was in college with Notre Dame University. And his wife tweeted saying that she doesn't recognize her husband at all. And I also need to give a shout out to New Jersey Devils taxi squad captain Connor Carrick. He completely carved Lamoriello. And I can't remember if Carrick was with New Jersey while Lusta was. I don't think so. I think he was taken in by Shiro. So he never worked with Lamoriello, but still, he absolutely carved Lou. And he retweeted the picture of Palmieri clean shaven, and he said, I'm surprised Lou let him keep the eyebrows. And I thought that was fucking great. I don't know if it's a dig. Zach brought this up. I don't know if it was meant as a dig at Palmieri having bushy eyebrows, or if it was meant as a dig at Lou.
No, definitely a dig at Lou.
Yeah, that's how I took it. Either way, it's fucking hysterical. But I want to get into Lundqvist here quick, but well, not quick. We could talk about it at length. But before we do, we were shitting on Buffalo earlier, how they were having like a horrendous,
catastrophic season.
Catastrophic, yeah, perfect word for it. And they only have, I believe, still at the moment. I don't know if they played today. They only have 9 wins on the season. Yeah, they're 9-25-6. So Jack Campbell, the starting goalie now for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but was pretty much the backup all year. He has 10 starts, has won all 10 starts. He gets the franchise record for the Maple Leafs, which that's huge. Like, historic franchise, it's pretty low, too. 10 consecutive starts for a goalie is the Maple Leafs franchise record. Which,
that's the record?
Yeah, which is insane. But what
that's
I find
pitiful.
What I find funny about it, though, is Jack Campbell has more wins than
the entire Buffalo
than the Buffalo team. And Buffalo has, like, I don't know, like 36 games played. Jack Campbell played 10 games and won 10 games.
Yeah.
He also has a .944 save percentage and 1.57 goals against.
That's insane.
So he's having an incredible year. Freddie Anderson sucks dick. He just got injured. So he's 100% the starter now and heading into playoffs. So yeah, I wish the guy the best. I always thought he was a solid backup when he was behind Quick in LA. So it's good to see him doing well. He had a lot of struggles throughout his career that I wasn't familiar with until this week, really. They talked about him on Spit and Chicklets, but I'm not going to plug a more popular podcast. I do it enough. Let's talk about Tortorella real quick, and then we'll get into Hank.
All right. Tortorella.
Oh, fuck.
Favorite coach the Rangers ever had. I feel like Tortorella is the only coach who just says it as it is.
Like, constantly.
Yeah, anytime that there's a fucking press conference at the end of a game, they're always just blowing smoke up everyone's ass. They're like, oh, hard loss, you know, we'll get them next time, you know, the heart and soul of this team, all that bullshit. Torch just goes out there, he's like, we fucking sucked.
And he takes no shit from the press either. Like,
oh, no.
And they try to bait him into, like, there's a lot of people that hate Tortorella. I always liked him, even when he was the Rangers coach, because he just said how he fucking felt, and, like, maybe his coaching style maybe doesn't fit with the game anymore, because we've seen him bouncing around team to team.
Well, nobody agrees with it because he just doesn't care about players' feelings
exactly,
or hurting anyone.
Which
he
I don't
just
have,
says it how it is.
I don't have a problem with.
I don't either.
A lot of players in today's game do, and it's been said, a lot of people think the reason so many players have left Columbus the past few years is because of Tortorella.
Well, it's definitely because of Tortorella.
And yeah, he definitely pushed Dubois out of there this year. It hasn't been working out with Line A, but I don't know. I like that. Obviously, I love Herb Brooks, and Miracle is my favorite movie of all time. And Herb, from what I gather from the movie, I wasn't fucking there, but he was a lot like that too. He didn't mind being the enemy of the players. They all have a common fucking thing to agree on, like these players, that they all hate me. Then they won't have time to hate each other, and that'll bond them together.
Maybe so, that's Tortorella's mindset.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he's just a dick.
I think he's just a dick, too. But, like, I like Mike Babcock. I like Joel Quenneville. And, like, all my favorite coaches are kind of assholes. But it used to get results. Not sure anymore.
It got the job done at the time.
It looks like it's done for him in Columbus. He's on the last year of his contract. And
he's not going to renew it.
Yeah, with
I
them.
I don't think so.
I don't think they're going to renew him either.
Honestly, send him back to the fucking Rangers.
Oh, they could use him. I think
we need a coach.
Yeah, Jack Quinn's a fucking joke.
But the one game he wasn't at, we did the best at.
Yeah. He reminds me a lot of fucking Hines, Quinn. So, and Hines has not worked out with the Devils. He's not working out with Nashville either. But yeah, after Columbus traded Savard today, they asked Tortorella about it, and he said that the core of this team has been together for a while, and we've been growing, we've been getting there, but things have fallen off. He said he understands that the business side comes into it and stuff like that. He said, but it's gotten to the point where you need to start over. He was, I'm going to be honest with you, it really does need to start over. There's just a lot of different personalities that come in, and I don't know if they work together. So it's not looking good. He said things have fallen off. He said they have to start over. Like, that's tough.
Basically, what he's saying is, I don't agree with my players. I'm not going to change my stance on it. It's their issue.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Which, again, I hate constantly defending the guy, but I think there's some truth to that. Like,
I guarantee you there's some truth, but the other part of it is
he needs he is an asshole, and he has to lighten up if he wants to keep a job in the NHL. But you have these younger guys like Dubois, and it's like, yeah, you're a really talented player, but this guy knows the game a lot fucking better than you. Like, there's no question about it, and he's proven he can win. He's never won a cup as a coach, but
Torts,
yeah.
Lightning.
Oh, yeah, 04. Yeah, you're right.
04 or 06?
04.
04?
Quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, all right.
I gave you the pre. Oh, wait. No, I might be wrong.
Is it pre or post-lockout?
Oh, now you're fucking me up.
I don't know.
It's 04. It's 04.
We'll go with that. But yeah. He is a Stanley Cup winning coach.
I don't.
So that's going to cement him.
04 is either Tampa Bay or fucking Carolina. I think Carolina's 06. Carolina's 06.
Yeah.
Whew.
And the Ducks were 07, right?
Yes, they were. Look at you.
Yeah, I know.
This is one of the only things I could do. I could list the. I have done it before. Apparently, I'm showing that I can't anymore. But I have once listed the Cups back to 1971 in perfect order. And
which is a feat in itself.
Much to my parents' dismay, because they were like, why didn't you study this shit like for school? I don't care about that. I care about the Stanley Cup.
Exactly.
But anyway, Torts is kind of an asshole, but whatever. I think the younger players are kind of soft, though. Like, yeah, you're talented, but this guy knows what the fuck he's talking about. You have to commit to... The whole team has to buy into what the coach is preaching for it to work. So... Sure, it might not be the way you want to be coached, but if half the team buys into what the coach is trying to instill in the team and the other half of the guys disagree with it, it's not going to work. If they all band together, even if they disagree with it and they decide to go with his fucking way, like, they probably would have gotten better results.
Yeah, it's going to get better results, but that's the thing. You can't go into that mindset of not agreeing with your coach. Just do what he fucking says.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's going to work out better than disagreeing.
And yeah, your job is to get results on the ice, but his job is to fucking lay the groundwork and get you there.
Yeah, that's never going to work, though.
Exactly.
But the issue here, too, you can't go into a team like this expecting to be coached a certain way.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't work like that. It shouldn't work like that.
Yeah.
The thing is, players are coming up way too fucking soft now. Like, my senior year of high school, bantams were just learning how to check.
Yeah.
So the league is going to, in a few years, it's going to be extremely soft.
Oh, yeah. They're,
like, the game is going to change dramatically.
The draft this year is a bit weaker, at least from what I've heard, than the last few.
Tell me about my first round pick.
Oh, no. I'm saying this draft.
Oh, this upcoming year. Oh, even last year.
Shut the fuck up. Lafreniere is going to be great.
Yeah.
He's going to be great.
I expected results instantly.
Yeah, well, he's going to be great. But
broke every record Crosby ever set.
This draft coming up is...
And now our fucking defenseman has more points than him. Come on.
Well, listen. We were just talking about how bad Quinn is, so...
Yeah.
And you didn't have a steady goalie there for a while. But anyway...
Shesterkin's stepping up.
Oh, yeah. He's Don't get me wrong. Really he was my now. Calder pick. He's been doing good. He was shaky at the beginning. But let's not suck the Rangers' dicks too much, because this is my podcast.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And fuck the Rangers.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, forgot.
Yeah, that's the most we've ever talked about them, I believe. But let's talk about them more, because let's talk about Henrik Lundqvist.
All right.
He plans to return to the NHL as soon as possible. He had a valve in his heart replaced in January. He still has to meet with doctors. I just hit the mic stand. He still has to meet with doctors to get the okay to play, but he's been on the ice. He's been training. He's been practicing. It's just a weird time with him. He signed with the Capitals, and they had Samsonov, who this year was going to be his first year as like a legit starter. They're planning on splitting time with him and Lundqvist. Lundqvist, obviously, is out with his heart. And then they pick up Craig Anderson, who was a starter for Ottawa
years ago.
Yeah, but he sucked. And then
you got to be nice to him. His wife had cancer.
Well, he didn't have fucking cancer, and he sucked, and he's old.
Fair enough.
Then they got fucking Vitek Vanacek, who everyone who's been listening to this show knows that I was sucking his dick for a while Samsonov was hurt, and Anderson only played like two games. Now all of a sudden, Vanacek's on top of the world. Samsonov comes back. Vanacek's still the number one guy because he proved himself while Samsonov's out. He's been killing it. Then they give Samsonov a try, and he's killing it. So they got like two number ones that were completely unexpected. Lundqvist is trying to come back now, and like they're about to get into playoffs. I don't know if they risk throwing him in the net, and it's like...
I absolutely wouldn't.
Especially the last his last two seasons when he was healthy, like before the heart issue, weren't great. Now he hasn't played in a game in over a year.
Yeah, it's not going to...
He had open heart surgery.
...be a good situation for the Capitals if they try to play him.
And I think what he wanted to do, what would have worked best for him, if he was able to come back like maybe a week or two ago, like before the deadline, that would have been perfect for him. So he'd come back, he'd get a couple games in before the deadline, prove he could still play to some degree.
Get traded and to a, maybe team a team that they need a starter.
Yeah, maybe a team like... Edmonton, who has a great team, but their goaltending is atrocious.
Who does Edmonton have right now? They still have Mike Smith?
They have Mike Smith and Koskinen, who they're both old as shit, too. I'm not saying Lundqvist would be the answer because he's been...
Yeah, he's up there.
He's Listen. Something like that. But he's better than Koskinen. He's better than Mike Smith. I haven't even seen him play in over a year. I can guarantee he's better than both of them. But no one's going to take a chance on the guy now since he hasn't returned. So, I don't know. I don't see Washington re-signing him. So he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, having not played for over a year.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting situation to watch.
I wish the guy the best, but honestly, I think the best move for him, because there's no way of knowing how it's going to pan out for him, I think the best move for him is to just retire. Announce your retirement. Then you technically retire a Ranger, only played for the Rangers, finish... Not even on a high note, but like pretty high. But as a Devils fan, like I could completely admit the guy's an incredible goalie. It's a shame he never won a cup. And I know he's not the kind of guy to just hang him up and retire and quit while he's ahead. Like he's the kind of guy he's going to play until he physically cannot play.
No, it's exactly what I was
And I think
say.
He's even kind of like Jágr did. Like I wouldn't be surprised if... In, say, another 2 or 3 years when Lundqvist is, like, completely shut out of the NHL.
Oh, he's going to go play somewhere else.
Yeah, he'll go back to Sweden. He'll play in the Swedish league or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it, the SHL now? It used to be the Elite Siren or something.
Yeah. There's a couple of them. But, yeah, the SHL. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he did that. But
here's the thing. If they won the Cup in 2014, he would have retired.
He would have retired now. Yeah.
Because at this point, he's the best goalie ever to have never won a cup.
Oh, okay.
No, I wasn't going to go ever. Listen, I don't so like glad. Brodeur, but I have to give him that.
Yeah, I'm glad you finished that sentence.
Yeah, he's the best to never win it.
I'd have to look into it, but off the top of my head, I would definitely agree with you. Yeah, the guy's great, and he definitely deserves one. He had a lot of years there in New York where he deserved one, but the rest of his team let him down. I wish the guy the best. He seems like a great guy on and off the ice, a great teammate, and he's been a great player for pretty much his entire career. So I really do wish him the best, but I just don't know where to go from here for him.
Yeah. But me being me as a Ranger fan, I was going to say this before when you were talking about Zajac. I started watching hockey when he was the starter around like 2010-ish. So for me, he was the only goalie I ever knew in New York. And me being a goalie, not knowing what the fuck I was doing, I was just trying to copy him.
Yeah.
So then seeing him get traded to somewhere else was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This ain't right.
Yeah, very weird.
So that's why I was hoping he would just retire with the Rangers. I'd love to see him win a cup. I know he would never do it with the Rangers.
Yeah.
Especially the past couple of years, they've been dog shit.
Yeah, and even this year, it looked like they were... I mean, not that he's part of the team this year anyway, but it looked like they were supposed to have a good year this year. At least I went in with high expectations for them this season.
Honestly, doing better than I thought.
And it looked rockier at the beginning. They've been, the last few weeks, they've been doing better. But
yeah, it was a rocky start, but it's gotten
progressively better. I expected them, I don't want to say I expect them to make playoffs. I think in a normal year, in with a normal like layout, like because all the divisions change.
Yeah,
for
with
COVID,
an 82 game layout where everyone 82 plays
game
everyone.
Season with yeah everyone playing against each other and the divisions being the same, I would have expected them to make playoffs. But as soon as I saw the division realignment, I was like, "There's no way they make playoffs." Because it's just such a stacked division this year. But yeah, they haven't been as good as I thought. But people also need to take into consideration, like, even with Buffalo, who's having a garbage season, like we said multiple times, they wouldn't have had this bad of a year if they were in the West or if they were in the Central or even the North. Like, not to say the East is that great of a division, but it really is. Like, Buffalo sucks, don't get me wrong, but they're playing against
Washington,
the Islanders, the Bruins, the Penguins.
Yeah, those are four
Flyers.
Great, Ranger, let's not bring the Flyers into this.
Well, yeah, but those are teams, like, all of those teams should very well be playoff teams, like, every single year.
Oh, they're cup contenders,
and some of them, aren't even making playoffs this year. Like, Boston's on the fringe. Philly's on the fringe. Like, so Buffalo wouldn't have had as bad of a year if they're in any other division. Rangers would have had a better year if they're in their normal division with Columbus and, well, I don't know. Carolina's nasty this year, too.
Oh, Carolina's killing it.
But we actually talked. Oh, fuck. We actually talked a lot longer than I thought we were gonna. So, I don't know, unless you have more to say about Lundqvist, but I think we should hop into the stats that we shouldn't keep track of, but for some reason we do. And you're going to fill in for Cody's stats today.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best.
All right.
Hold on. Sorry, folks. I got to get my notes up.
Excuse me, folks. My jello's falling apart.
All right, let's hop into misconducts. First and second would be Liam O'Brien and Matt Dumba. Both got a 10-minute misconduct for roughing on each other. Pretty cute. Next would be Sam Morin, got a game misconduct for boarding. That's it, right?
Yeah, that's it for misconducts. Yeah.
All right, goals in the first or last minute of a period, 33.
Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, last time there were 23, and I was impressed with that, but a fuck ton this week. 33. I had
that
to count
is a,
those.
That's a huge amount.
Yeah. I normally don't keep track of those stats. That's Cody's domain. But I gotta say, it was quite the load having to find all those and then doing the trades and the suspensions. And it's a lot. I give the kid credit. I'll get into mine. I got first goals. Last time we only had three. This time we jumped back up to 12. So just when I think we're running out, it heats back up.
That's a
plus nine. You got a lot of defensemen. You got a lot of guys coming up from the taxi squad making their debuts and what have you. But we got Brian Dumoulin, Zach Delpy, Luke Shen, Kirby Dach, seventh game of his sophomore season after the wrist injury he suffered in World Juniors. So good to see him get on the board this year. TJ Brody, or JT Brody if you're Paul Bissonnette, but it's TJ Brody. Jake Walman, first of his career in 13 games played, all but one this year. Luke Johnson, first of his career in 31 games played, 13th this year. And Ilya Labushkin, first of his career as well.
That's a fucking name.
I love it. Labushkin. 119 games played, and he gets the first of his career.
That's well deserved.
Yeah. I mean, he's a defenseman. They don't come by as often, but shout out to him. It's his 27th game this year. We got Jesper Boqvist, 11th game this year, picked up another one in his second game, too, or in the next game after that. Shout out to Boqvist there. Jeremy Lozon, Anton Blyde.
Don't look at me.
Listen, I usually preface this segment with, I might get some of these names wrong, but it is what it is, and I should have this time, because I've never heard of this fucking guy. It's B-L-I-D-H, Bleed, Blyde, Blid.
B-L-I-D-H?
B-L-I-D-H. I don't fucking know. Whatever, Anton, that guy, and Andy Green, So Andy gets on the board there. And then shutouts, we got three this time.
You get nothing. You lose.
Semyon Varlamov, 29 saves for the 31st shutout of his career and the fourth this season. Alex Nedeljkovic, I always fuck that name up. I think I got it right. Shout out to him. Zach played in the Quebec Pee Wee Hockey Tournament with him. And he was 24 saves for the third of his career, all three of those this season. And that's only in 15 starts, so he's averaging one shutout every five games. So
that's pretty good.
Not too bad. Not too bad. And then we got Jonas Johansson, whatever. They got to figure that one out. The guy that a Buffalo reporter once said was the worst goalie in the NHL, he gets a 28-save shutout with his new team for the first of his career.
Good day, sir!
So shout out to those guys. Shout out to the guys that got their first goals. You love to see it.
Big moments for a lot of players.
Yeah.
That we like to see.
And I think the only thing we have left here is to wrap up Five for Fighting and recap what our picks were from Tuesday. And I wish Cody were here for it because, boy, oh boy, the kid's getting a mullet.
Yeah, he was bad this week.
He wasn't bad.
I forgot what his picks were.
He wasn't bad, but I keep putting distance. Like, so I was leading by five. I now lead by six. I go 3-2 this week. Cody's 2-3. So on the season, I'm 36-24, and Cody's dead even 30-30.
Yeah, he was, what, 28, 27 before?
Yeah, that's how math. Yeah. Math.
I don't know math.
But that's it. The kid's getting a mullet. I want a mullet. He doesn't want a mullet. He's going to have a skullet because...
Yeah, that fucking bald spot is brutal.
I'm sorry, buddy. We're getting into that in the Fight Companion right after this, but... yikes. Yeah, he's going to have a skullet, I think. But it is what it is. And I think that's it for the episode. Stay tuned, though. I'm doing the outro, but don't turn it off because we got the Fight Companion coming up. You're going to want to hear it. You're going to want to hear it. But until then, Mike Milbury, Wes McCauley, you greasy fuck, and Jack Edwards, fuck you!
And one of those was a nice guy.
You're not allowed back.
Okay.